the Psalms are about the Lord Jesus Christ, but this one certainly, as we'll see, has a lot to do with his death. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Amen. That's God's word. And it's the psalm. That's not the complete psalm. There's actually a number of other verses that follow on, but we're just focusing on those first 18 verses tonight. Okay, so obviously when you read the Psalms, you have to think about who wrote it. You have to think about who the audience that it was intended for. All biblical texts are like that. We can't just say, oh, this psalm is about Jesus and ignore the fact that it was actually David who wrote the psalm. And he wrote the psalm 1,000 years, as I said, before Christ was even born. So we know that David wrote it. The psalm itself is a lament. It speaks of David's distress. He was distressed. David, of course, went through a number of difficult times in his life, and this would have been written at one of those very difficult periods of his life. And the psalm starts with those vivid and painful words, my God, why have you forsaken me? So this is David crying out to God. He's crying out to God. He felt as if God had left him. He was alone. He was vulnerable. He was afraid. And yet, he didn't feel God's presence. God was not there with him. He didn't feel God's comfort. And he wasn't used to that. That's not what God does, of course. God has promised to never leave us, to never forsake us. He has promised his people that. And as his people, we take great comfort from knowing that God will always be with us and will never let us go. And yet we have here the words of David. There's nothing in there except anguish. There's nothing in his words except a feeling of despair, a feeling of loss, a feeling of loss of communion with his God. Let's have a look at the rest of the verse. Verses 1 and 2, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? That's what he expected his God to do. And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. It's very dark, it's very depressing language, isn't it? And for those of us who know the story of Jesus' death on the cross, we know Those words, those first few words in the first verse are actually familiar, aren't they? Because they are the words that Jesus Christ himself uttered just before he died. Now, this is actually recorded. Remember, this is Psalm 22. I'm going to keep reminding you that it was written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. But this next one, this is Matthew, the gospel writer Matthew. Now, Matthew wrote in the first century, okay, so in AD. And this is what he records of the death of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 27, 45 to 46, he says, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" So there are the exact same words recorded by the writer Matthew, the gospel writer Matthew, recording the things that he had seen and heard of the events surrounding the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are almost the exact same identical words also in Mark 15, in verse 34. And if you focus on those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a very deep pain that's being expressed there. And more than any of the physical pain that hurt Jesus, this is what hurt Jesus the most. He'd been whipped. He'd had a crown of thorns shoved on his head. He'd been absolutely exhausted, forced to try to carry his cross. He couldn't carry it. He was so weak. He was put up on the cross. All of those terrible things happened to him, and yet these words here reflect the absolute worst thing in the world that happened to him at that time. This, for a period of time, because of the awfulness of our sin, the Father rejected his only begotten Son. Because for a period of time, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, became sin. He became sin for those that he would save. He became sin for us. His Holy Father had to turn his face from him because he couldn't look on him. He became revolting to God, revolting to his Father. It was a horrible separation. And Jesus felt that separation more than any of the physical pain that he had experienced that day. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul explains that for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So here we have the whole point. The whole point was so that we could become holy and righteous, that we could be reconciled to God through what Jesus did. So at 3 o'clock, that dark Friday afternoon, the Father turned his face away, and that ancient eternal fellowship that had always been between the Father and the Son was broken. And at that time, it wasn't just that he turned his face away. It was also the fact that all of his wrath, all of his anger against sin, all of the dreadful anger against the sin of man was directed against his only begotten Son. You may have heard of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you might have heard of how those two wicked cities were destroyed by fire. And God rained down fire against those two cities. Well, this was like that, but all of that anger and fierce wrath was directed at Jesus. So in all of that, feeling all of that agony, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, there was a reformer, John Calvin. You may have heard of him. He lived a long time ago, and he was one of the great Reformation figures. He wrote a commentary. This is what he says about this. He says, "This was his chief conflict, and harder than all the other tortures, For not only did he offer his body as the price of our reconciliation with God, but in his soul he endured the punishments due to us. Nothing is more dreadful than to feel that God, whose wrath is worse than all deaths, is the judge. Okay, so then Jesus made... He took upon himself that wrath. Now, getting back to Psalm 22, we see there in those words that Jesus said a very clear connection between what he experienced on the cross and what David wrote 1,000 years before. This is important, and I'll explain why it's so important a bit later on. Now, a cynic might say, nah, that's just a coincidence. Jesus was forsaken, David was forsaken. They happened to say the same thing. My God, why have you forsaken me? These were just two separate, unrelated events. Okay, so a cynic might say that. Well, if that were true, there would be no other significant connections between Christ's death and Psalm 22. But in fact, there are actually a number of them, apart from this particular one. And we're going to go through them. The things that David wrote about in verses 6 to 8 were also fulfilled in the events surrounding the crucifixion of Christ, as recorded in Matthew. This is what he says in Psalm 22, 6 to 8. He describes himself as a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. So you have here, in that last verse especially, this event, well, and in 7, where you have these enemies of Christ that are mocking, that are saying to him, you trusted in God? Let God deliver you. Now let's have a look at what's recorded in Matthew 27. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. And so you see the similarities, don't you, between the two texts. There are some very significant connections. In both accounts, there was this challenge from the enemies of the faith regarding the trustworthiness of the God in whom they were trusting. Then again, there's also verses 14 to 16. It says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You've brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now, this is really vivid language, and the fact that it mentions at the bottom there that the piercing of my hands and feet, of course, makes us think straight away of crucifixion, doesn't it? It makes us think of crucifixion, method of killing people. It was a particularly horrible method of killing people, crucifixion, and that was the method that was used on Jesus to execute him. Now, this psalm, this section, basically reflects the things that Jesus was feeling, the things that he was experiencing when he was on the cross, when he was being crucified. I want to read you some facts about the pains that are felt during crucifixion. Initially, the victim would have his body weight suspended by his arms. In this position, it's difficult to breathe, to completely exhale. The victim could take shallow breaths for a while, but eventually would be forced to push himself up to take to take a full breath. At this point, three things happen. The victim's weight is now fully supported by his feet. That's got a great big nail through it. The nails through the feet would be likely to hit two major nerves running through the area. The result would be excruciating pain in the legs. The nails in the wrists would be likely to pierce the main nerve running through the arm. As the victim pushed up to breathe, the wrist would rotate against the nail, irritating the nerves and causing intense pain in the arms. Some authorities also believe that the crucifixion position would dislocate the shoulder and the elbow. Any movement would aggravate the pain from these injuries. The wounds on the victim's back from the scourging, it was always accompanied by scourging, would push up against the rough part of the centerpiece. This would tend to reopen wounds, leading to more pain and blood loss. This combination of pain would quickly force the victim to lower himself back down. Eventually, the victim would no longer be able to raise himself up and would suffocate. The shock from blood loss due to the scourging would hasten this process. Armed with that horrible information, let's just read again from Psalm 22, 14 to 16. Imagining that it does refer to Christ. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The corrugation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. One of the explicit things that's mentioned in the gospel account of Jesus' death was his awful thirst. I think it's in John. He says, I thirst. The phrase, my tongue clings to my jaws. Surely that's his awful thirst. It's a clear picture of how thirsty Jesus was at this time. But it also mentions the dislocated joints, his dried up strength, and even the constant goading of his enemies who enclosed him. And all of these are evidence. They are further elements that point directly to the crucifixion experience. The fact that none of Jesus' bones were broken is actually not mentioned in this one, but that fact is mentioned actually in Psalm 34, another psalm. But the final fact that I want us to look at tonight is contained it's in verse 18, and it refers to the soldiers gambling for his clothes. Psalm 22, verse 18 says, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now, this verse is actually explicitly mentioned in John's account of the crucifixion. In fact, it says that the event happened so that the prophecy of David in Psalm 22 would actually be fulfilled. Let's read it from John 19, verse 24. It says, they said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, talking about his clothing, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. So that's really clear, isn't it? It's none of the sufferings mentioned by David in Psalm 22 referred just to David's sufferings. It's like there was God superimposed the sufferings of Jesus Christ over the top of a psalm that was written by David, whose immediate context was his own suffering, the things that were going through. But the reason why that was done was a very profound reason, and I want to have a look at that right now. So why is it important? What does it mean for us? Why are we actually highlighting these facts in the Bible talk tonight? Well, I think that one of the most important reasons has to do with how God wants us to read the Bible. I started the Bible talk by saying that the pivotal point for the whole of the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. Well, there are some that have a different perspective. in reading the Bible. There are some preachers who want to divide the Bible up into lots of different parts. There's, of course, the obvious separation of the Old Testament and the New Testament. As I said, the Old Testament was written in ancient Hebrew, the New Testament in Koine Greek. The Old Testament related to the things that happened with the Jews, the people of God, his chosen people. The New Testament was talked about the era of the church, and it was post, well, it dealt with the events surrounding Christ's life and death, but then also the things that happened after that as well. Now, some want to talk about all the different dispensations, all the different periods, all the different eras. We don't have to think about anything that was written in the Old Testament, they say. Some preachers even say that there were different ways of gaining salvation at different times in the history of God's people. Now, we have to be careful that we don't read the Bible in a wrong way. In the Scriptures, there's not enough evidence for those ideas. The reality is that the whole Bible, which consists of the Old and New Testaments, tells a single unified tale about how God worked to bring about reconciliation between himself and the people that he created. In the beginning, we've got Genesis, where we are told about how the world was created and how man was created. We also hear about how man fell. And from that point, when Adam fell, there was this great chasm, this great gap between God and man. And it was a gap that could only be fixed through the direct intervention of God. And so the focal point of the whole of the Old and the New Testament is the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it was what Jesus did 2,000 years ago that opened that door of reconciliation. And that's what I want us to really think about tonight. Some of you have been Christians for a long time. Others of you might not even be Christian yet. Perhaps you're interested in what it's all about. What it's all about is being reconciled to God. What it's all about is God telling us through his word that there is a way for us who have sinned, to be reconciled to God. And that's why it's so important, because without the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who carried all of our sins with him on the cross, there wouldn't be any salvation for any of us. And that's why all of the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament are important. It's why Psalm 22 is so important, because in the middle of all the action that was going on in the life of David and in the nation of Israel at the time that he wrote the psalm, we find something even more important. We find that pivotal point, that key piece of information that God wants to keep before us at all times. The fact that his son was willing to die on the cross to pay for our sins, so that we could be reconciled to God. In this psalm, we see the suffering of the one who, through his perfect sacrifice, would bring the devil and all his evil-doing servants to their knees. So the story about David and Israel and the prophets was ultimately only a subplot to the main story, which was the story of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ's death, we can find peace with God. People look everywhere for peace, don't they? You have people coming up with all sorts of philosophies, and yet here we have the answer. If you want peace with God, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way that you can be reconciled with him. So let's be clear about the main story of the Bible. It's a story of a selfless, suffering Saviour who went through the pains of the cross and separation from his heavenly Father so that he could bring salvation to everyone who puts their faith and their trust in him. Amen.